Are you crazy? He has a big zombie takeout. Lick a horse.
What's up? Welcome to episode 130 of Zombie
Zombie
Takeout,
Takeout.
the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, got a little bit of listener submitted. This from John Phillips in reference to last week's episode. Listening to it now, transforming RoboCop. Are we sure Michael Bay is not involved? Maybe we could get John Peters and his mechanical spider.
Oh.
Now, for those who don't know, obviously you know who Michael Bay is. For those who don't know who John Peters is, he's the guy who notoriously told Kevin Smith when he was writing his version of Superman that he had to have Superman fight a giant spider.
And then went on to do Wild
Wild, Wild
West,
West. Yeah.
With the giant spider.
And I replied saying that if somehow you could get Bay and Peters on the same movie, you could possibly have the worst movie of all time.
That's like the Bottoms Up movie. That would be the bridge too far.
Yeah, it really would be. It's the crew version of that, yeah. And John also replied to the trailer for this week's movie, saying they brought their toys with them. And one news story this week, but it's a big one. This from Backwoods Horror. John Travolta joining the cast of Toxic Avenger remake.
Oh, wait. A what?
News has come down the line from It's on the Grid that John Travolta has joined the cast of the Toxic Avenger remake. Hot Tub Time Machine director Steve Pink is working on the Toxie remake, co-writing it with Daniel C. Mitchell.
Dear God, that's going to be a mainstream release.
Charlie Corwin, Akiva Goldsman, Richard Saperstein, Lloyd Kaufman, and Michael Hertz are all producing. Lloyd Kaufman also tweeted in reference to this WTF, a Toxie remake, and a link to another news story about it. Yeah, now...
It's not just that they're remaking Toxie. They're going to make a mainstream version.
That's the issue. Because Travolta, I initially balked at, but then I remembered that he played Divine's role in the remake of Hairspray.
Yeah.
And I realized, okay, this might not be too bad. And then I saw Michael Pink was involved and realized, yeah, it's going to be mainstream. And you can't mainstream Troma.
I don't know.
Part of the beauty of Troma is that they can go places that the majors can't.
But the majors have gone, you know, to different places now, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know if they can really go to Troma territory.
I don't know.
Can they take it down to Troma Town? Or Tromaville?
Since the Farrelly brothers, you know, I mean,
true.
Yeah, I could see this happening, and I could see this being huge.
I can see it happening, of course. I can see, yeah, I'm probably going big. I just don't know if it's, I don't know if it's going to be as enjoyable. I won't say as good. It'll technically probably be better, but I don't know if it'll be as enjoyable.
I'm just shocked that it's happening.
Yeah. This was all over the place yesterday. I first saw a link to the story some around, say, 4 in the afternoon. Within an hour, I saw, no lie, 10, 20 more links to it between G+ and Twitter. This went huge very quickly.
Of course, with the same reaction that I just had, probably.
Yeah. In fact, the actual first words of the story I read were, wait, what? Yeah, I'm cautiously a little bit maybe optimistic on this one, but not much. Okay, so on to this week's movie, and it is from 1977, Slapshot. This was requested by Andrew. And of course that brings us to the impromptu plot summary. Sponsored by Pointless Mindless Violence. Nothing puts asses in the seats like Pointless Mindless Violence. Try it at your next event.
And also sponsored by Disco. You want a shitty soundtrack, just throw in as much disco as you can.
You won't even have to use more than one song.
Oh, you can, yeah. Well, okay, so what we have here, we have an old player coach on a minor league hockey team that's pretty much going nowhere. You can tell it's Western Pennsylvania. They drop enough hints in there that it, with the Steelers stuff, and I think they even used a lot of stuff that went on to the same set as the Deer Hunter and all that.
And it just looked like that area. I don't know if it was actually shot there or not.
Well, it's obviously Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And the giveaway was when they show the statue of the dog and they talk about the flood. There's only one, Pennsylvania town that's really known for that. And so it's following this Charlestown, I think it was, instead of Johnstown. And it follows this hockey team who well, they're laying off a plant, so there really aren't many people that are going to have the money to go see a minor league hockey game. And well, this player coach is desperate to try to find a way to drum up interest for the team. So he winds up just using some goons and pretty much turns it into professional wrestling. Only that they're really beating the shit out of each other, and they have sticks. So,
This is the old joke, I went to a boxing match and a hockey game broke out. This is that in a movie.
right. And so they wind up picking up these three. I don't know where it was they said they got them from exactly, but
Was it the Iron
they.
League? I know there was reference to the Iron League.
Yes. So from some other league, they pick up these other three brothers, and they wind up being well. He first he's scared to put them in because they seem like they're just a bit too childlike and they have no idea what they're doing. They turn out to just be, oh, just absolute monsters. And more on that scene later, but and them later, but yeah, they wind up just changing the whole thing around, where it's just this brutally violent game. It's pretty much like a real hockey game was back in the day, actually. So I'm not sure exactly why it was so shocking that they resorted to it, but yeah, they wind up bringing fans in. The contrast to the old grizzled player coach is this young up and coming Princeton, I believe they had said, or Ivy League, whatever, Ivy
College
League
educated.
graduate with who's an up and coming player that'll probably have a pro career ahead of him, who does not want to get into this violence. He also pretty much ignores his I believe it's either his wife or girlfriend,
Wife.
his wife, and that leaves the player coach, with seemingly he's trying to hit on her, but I don't know. It's that's very a very weird, ambiguous part of the film.
Ultimately, you find out that he was only doing it to piss off Braden is the character's name, the clean player. He was trying to piss him off to the point where he would fight.
Well, yeah. In fact, I think that's what people have said, but it doesn't really seem that way, does it? I
Well,
mean,
I think that was his original intention, but it developed from there.
yeah. And there's this whole other subplot with his ex-wife that really they unnecessarily added onto the film the way I felt.
With many other things.
And well, they play, they wind up making it to the playoffs, and instead of having the big final showdown at the championship game, well, they do. They start it. It ends in one of the most bizarre endings in sports movies, in any sports movie. Just outright the most bizarre. In other words,
Hilarity
hilarity
ensues.
ensued.
Now, this one stars Paul Newman. I don't know if you mentioned his name.
Yeah, no, I did not.
Of course, our younger listeners might not know that before he was selling popcorn and salad dressing,
Just
he
gonna
was
say,
an actor, and quite a good one.
for the younger listeners, he's the guy that sells the popcorn and the salad dressings.
Now, the beginning of the movie. You wouldn't see a movie get away with such a quiet beginning these days. There was no sound, or very little sound, for the first, like, 10 seconds.
There's a lot of great older movies that begin that way.
Yeah. I honestly thought there was a problem with my audio at
I'm
first.
thinking like Clint Eastwood Man with No Name movies where there's not like a word of dialogue
Yeah.
spoken for the first like 15 minutes or
Right.
so. Actually, there's like a shootout before there's a word of dialogue spoken in those movies, now that I think about it.
And then it goes into a bit. It's basically one of the players being interviewed, and it goes into a bit of humor that is very Zucker Abrams.
Right. And it didn't even occur to me until maybe about 15, 20 minutes into the movie that that was exposition for the audience that might not have happened to understand the rules of hockey.
Yeah.
That that was their way of filling that in. It didn't even occur to me because, of course, I know hockey, I love hockey, and it's just like, whatever. Oh, he's just doing a slapstick routine with it. And I thought, wait a minute. They just snuck some
Yeah.
exposition in there.
Also, this is our first sports movie. And you're a big sports fan. I am not at all, except for when the X Games are on. So that'll be interesting to see the contrast of opinions in reference to that. But there was some very Zucker Abrams humor, and I was hopeful. And then the rest of the movie happened. And this should have been brilliant. You have Newman, you have Michael and Keane, you have the director from The Sting and who went on to do World According to Garp.
Right, a director that's worked with Newman many times, actually.
I just can't tell what happened because the humor just didn't work. They were throwing way too many very mediocre jokes out. Too rapid fire and not really giving any of it room to breathe.
Yeah.
The only good parts for me, honestly, were the fights.
Well, right. Definitely. I agree there
I think that's
entirely.
why it has a cult following.
A lot of the plot itself, it really, and yeah, really the whole subplot with the ex-wife and stuff,
Well, that you
just
can just cut out.
really, because the movie was too long,
Oh,
honestly.
God, yes. The
I
chorus
had.
of Hockey Wives should have been cut.
I have no problem with the chorus itself.
Just the
In
writing.
fact, they could have probably left the other, wife in of Braden. But his ex-wife, it really didn't make sense with the rest of what Newman was doing in
No.
this,
Except for the one scene where she finally ultimately decides to leave Braden.
Well,
'Cause that was
yeah.
brought on by the ex-wife. That was her only purpose in the movie was that scene.
Yeah, it just seemed so, so tacked in there.
And you mentioned Newman. And again, I am I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but I respect him. He did some
Oh,
great work.
definitely. Definitely.
I really just get a sense he didn't really get a handle on the character in this.
His performance is very
He
strange.
kind of phoned in.
There's parts where he's, like all happy and fired up where it doesn't seem like he should be. Like the whole thing about, she's a scrapper or whatever. She's just scrapping. That whole part is just really like weird.
And he was very oddly cast in this one because he was 52 when they made the movie.
Really?
Way
Wow.
too old to be playing hockey. And he looked it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know sports better than I do. I know baseball, they tend to have fairly long careers, but I don't think they do in hockey.
Non-hockey, no.
No. You're lucky to make it past 35 in hockey, I would assume.
From what I saw in, some of I got to research this a lot more than in many others. And there was a lot more on this actually than many other movies we've done though. Nick Nolte was one of the people that really wanted to get in on this.
And Pacino did as well.
Oh yeah, Pacino as well too.
And they were both denied the role because they couldn't skate.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, you could have had doubles for that.
It wouldn't have been the same
Yeah,
though,
maybe not.
because really, the beauty of this movie and the reason why it's going to rate as high as I'm going to rate it are those hockey
Oh,
scenes.
yeah. Only
Usually,
enjoyable part.
though, it's the reverse
Yeah,
in a lot
true.
of these sports movies. It's the banter and the jokes and stuff that really hit. And then the actual sports part are usually just filler.
That's probably why, even though I'm not a sports fan, but I do enjoy sports movies on the whole, because it's about the story and the actual sport is just kind of thrown in.
Jesus, the scene where those Hansen brothers finally get out there
Yeah.
and just the way they
Brilliant.
so gracefully skated
Yes.
around
And
and
beat the shit out of people.
terrorized,
Yes.
not even just beat people, just they were
Yes.
absolute terrorists with the grace of fucking
Yeah.
Dorothy Hamilton.
And that's the thing, is the three guys who played the Hansen brothers, two of them were actual brothers. They're
One of them
hockey
was an
players.
actual, was the actual character that he was based off
Oh,
of,
was it?
actually.
Okay. But they're
Yeah.
hockey players. They're not actors.
Yes. That's what made that is really what made the film. They had actual hockey players.
Their only credits are the Slapshot movies.
Yeah.
And yet, with the exception of Newman and Onkin, they were the best performances in the movie.
Well, you can't even understand a damn word they said half the time,
But I enjoyed them. Not just the skating and the fighting, their performances, outside of the rink, I enjoyed.
but I mean, there are so many great scenes. I mean, the scene where they started the fight during the warm-up. You're not, I guess that's like he lost you because you're not a sports fan. But during the warm up,
Yeah. Oh, I understood it.
I thought that was such a like made up thing. But it turns out all of the stories that we pretty much saw there on ice, with maybe exception of the weird ending, was real.
Wow.
The writer of the film, Nancy Dowd, her brother played on the
Right.
Johnstown Jets. Pretty much the role of Ned Braden. And all of these stories are things that happened in the league.
Oh, and her brother actually played Oogie Oglethorpe in the movie.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But yeah, he she that's right, I remember reading this. She based the movie on his stories that he told her.
But yeah, fight during the warm-up. And so in real life, the team just like ran off the ice. They hid in the lockers. They forfeited the game, which lost them the entire it was a playoff game too.
Wow.
It cost them the entire series because they just refused to get back out of the ice. And then that whole scene with the national anthem, and then
Trying to listen to the fucking song.
the Hanson brothers just covered in blood standing for the anthem, and the referee getting all nervous.
I would be nervous in reffing a game with them. If they're willing to do that to the other players, what are they willing to do to the ref?
You could say we were spoiling that happening, but the way they were doing it, they're doing the warm-up skating, and as they go around in the circles like that, the two players kind of look at each other, and you just know something is gonna happen. But yeah, any scene with them is just
Yeah.
it's gold. What more can you say?
And even the more dramatic scenes, I think, pretty much worked. They just didn't know how to handle the comedy. And this is the director of The World According to Garp, who couldn't handle comedy.
I don't know if he could handle this comedy. I think
Maybe it
this
was the
was.
style, because this was a very typical late 70s, early 80s comedy.
I think this was out of his range, really, and it's just terribly timed, a year after the Bad News Bears.
Yeah.
And how could you not make a comparison,
The story is basically the Bad News Bears in reverse.
Just about, yeah. Well, I mean, it's a little league team, so it's different. There's not
Well,
the
but I mean the progression of the team. It's kind of the reverse of what the Bad News Bears were.
Yeah.
They start off as goons and become a great team.
Yeah, I'm still not clear about why it's so shocking that they would bring goons into a hockey thing, especially back in the 70s. This was, professional hockey games were notorious for blood and violence, especially back then.
Now, a question about hockey in that era. Did they wear helmets?
Hell no.
They didn't. Okay.
They did not.
Because that struck me as that nobody, only the goalies had masks on.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was expected. That was typical of the period. Okay.
Oh yeah, it was fucking real. It was. I mean, most hockey teams, even today, to this day, you have your goons, Sometimes it's a lineup, your third or fourth line. Sometimes it's just a couple guys that are, enforcers on the good line. It's a balance, though, of, your Hanson brothers in the back and your Braden and Dunlop up front to, actually score. But,
Their job was basically to keep everybody away from the scorers.
Oh, exactly. Or if anybody, they felt someone was coming near their scorers or their goalie, you thought twice about it.
Right.
That's just how the game works. So I'm not sure exactly why it was, whoa, he brought in goons.
Now, I have to nitpick these things. There was one scene that, again, not us being a sports guy, but it just didn't seem to make sense. Dave, a killer, was injured at one point in the movie, and he's pulled out of the game. And all three Hanson brothers go in to replace him. Now, I'm pretty sure you have to. There's a set amount of players you can have playing at a given time.
Well, in hockey, you'd have a line.
Okay.
I think the Hanson brothers were on like the second or third line. Someone nitpicked that they wouldn't be out for the national anthem because only the starters, the first line, would be out. But how could you resist having them standing for the anthem with the blood and the referee getting shouted down by them?
On to the sponsor. Well, you're one of the sponsors this week. The music.
It actually lost half a brain, at least half a brain.
The song Right Back Where We Started From. This one of the most annoying songs of the disco era, and that's saying
Right.
something.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
Right. I write the notes after hearing it the second time
I think
that,
I made it three or four before I had to write it down.
at the second time I was like, okay, it's a bit much to use the same song twice in unrelated scenes. One more time, and it's obnoxious.
For a while, I was convinced that was the only song they could get the rights to. And then there were two or three other songs later in the movie.
Right. And the weird thing is that soundtrack was originally not, well, originally that is the soundtrack of the movie when it was out in the theaters. And then from what I'm gathering, when it went to VHS and made for TV, they didn't have the rights for it there, so they just had this generic soundtrack going that a lot of
Probably
people
better.
see it probably was better. And that this was as it was in the theater, which is very surprising because why would you need to play it four times?
Like I said, I was sure that was the only thing they had the rights to.
Now, if they wanted to make that like the thing they listen to on the tour bus,
Yeah, you work it into the script somehow, fine.
fine. But the fact that they were listening to it in like a bar beforehand, and then like a couple minutes later, they're on the bus and they're listening to it again.
And it was playing, I think in a malt shop, it was playing in the background and
Oh yeah, you're right.
the
They
drugstore.
it was like five times, wasn't there? Yeah.
Probably. Oh yeah, it was way more than two.
Oh my God. No, I thought it was four, but I think you're right. I think there was a fifth, which is just insane. Yeah, and then Elton John, none of that made any, that was just weird.
Least the Elton John song I like, and it fit the scene, so I was okay with it.
Did it really fit the scene though? I mean, I'm okay with the song itself, but didn't really seem to fit
Well, no,
this
you're right.
movie in tone.
That was when Braden like went off the edge.
Right.
So that song really didn't fit.
No. And really, come on. It didn't have to be as, he was trying to make it much more dramatic than it was. Oh, he's going off on his own and just unnecessary. That is the key problem with this movie was It did not know what it wanted to be.
No.
It was trying to be something for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, it was your
And
date movie, it was your sports movie,
Mm-hmm.
it was your comedy, it was your drama. You know,
Yeah.
it
And
needed to settle.
it really, aside from the sports scenes, the seats in the ring, very little of the rest of it worked. There were a couple of dramatic scenes I thought were okay. Not even dramatic, but just, non-joke scenes that I thought were okay. But there was a bit at the end that I really did like. Was when Brayden completely lost his shit and went up to the broadcaster's booth.
Yes, that was good.
And he grabs the mic and just goes on a tear.
The parts where Brayden lost it was when he was at his best,
Yeah.
including that strange as hell ending.
Do we want to talk about that? It's kind of my what have I learned, so. Very end of the movie, of course, gigantic fight scene breaks out. And then, somehow to end the movie, Brayden, who obviously wasn't involved in the fight because he's a clean player, he sees his wife, who had left him by this point, goes down to the rink, skates into the middle, and does a striptease.
Now,
Random striptease for no reason other than somehow to win his wife back, I guess, maybe. It
I
works.
thought it was him saying that he was leaving the game. That's kind of what I thought, but
I
I
thought he
could
was
be
trying to get
wrong.
his wife back.
Well, yeah, that was his way of trying to get her back, was saying that, here, I'm out of this. I'm getting, I think that's what it started with. I'm
Possibly,
taking
but
this
he.
uniform
Yeah,
off.
yeah. And then the band starts playing the stripper, and it just gets weird.
Yes, it does. What was the movie? That shoot 'em up movie. It reminded me a lot of that,
Yeah.
where they're using the thing they're detesting.
Right. Exactly.
There's this commentary about violence and how it's what people love, but a dude taking his clothes off is bad.
Well, and also using the thing they detest or appear to detest, there is a very definite homophobic vibe in this movie.
I don't know if it's, I think it's just accurately portraying how the dudes would have been back
Possibly,
then.
yeah.
Especially, hockey players, you
Yeah,
know?
that's a fair point, and I think maybe it just caught my attention because we're po so PC now that nobody would get away with using these words in a movie these days.
I think they sum it up best, and they set the tone for it too in the beginning, where they're talking about a guy's wife went off and had sex with a woman, another woman. She cheated on him with another woman. And of course, the immediate question that everyone's like, wow, does that make the husband gay too? They really had no idea.
No.
I think that's what that was pretty much portraying right there, was that it was just, they were clueless about it.
Right.
It's a very small town,
True.
and they just didn't know any differently. Now they're throwing around words that, of course, today.
Yeah. I think that's why it catches you, is because no one would get away with using those words nowadays.
Words I might use while watching, a Steeler game or something, describe the opposing team, but hey. But hey, that's in the privacy of my own living room, isn't it?
Right.
There's the one character, of course, that we've talked about a little bit, and that's really the town.
Yeah. It really is a character.
It's a shame that they couldn't just get right out with it and call it Johnstown. And that's probably a regret.
Did they ever even specify steel mill? Or just say the mill?
I think, yeah. And just the background with all the smokestacks and stuff, which, I mean, that was all real, man. There was no CGI back
Oh,
then. That's just
yeah.
how it
That's why I
was.
was asking if it was shot in that area.
Yeah,
Because it very definitely looks like that area of
they
Pennsylvania.
shot it in Johnstown also, yeah. And while doing research, there's It was a website, I think, from it was like City Data, and it was a post on a Johnstown site that reads when they're talking about this movie, and some of them reminiscing about when it was filmed. It's sad to see how vibrant downtown used to be as compared to now. To quote Lewis Black, let me repeat that. How vibrant downtown in this film
wow
was.
Yeah, I didn't catch that part.
Compared to now.
Damn.
That this in 77
was
that,
noticeably
those were
better
little
than now.
Days.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the landmarks in the movie are gone, but a few still remain. Man, that's I don't know if it's a distraction or if that's what they were, this is what they were getting at, but there's just this sadness to the film.
Yeah.
I mean, who gives a shit whether, you know, Paul Newman was, you know, insane or he was going to be alone for the rest of his life, but I mean, the town is the real tragic hero in this.
And I think you just hit the nail on the head with the problem. Like you said, it's not sure what it wants to be. But by and large, it's trying to be a very broad comedy.
Yeah.
But it is just patently depressing at the same time.
I mean, there was... Anytime they talk about sports in the late 1970s, they talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And just how in that area, there it was so bleak and desperate and just it was hopeless. And they all just latched onto those teams and went nuts for them.
It was escapism.
Right.
Much needed escapism.
This movie was made during those times, just as they were hitting. And they were kind of clueless to that angle of the story. That, yeah... I mean, it's also ironic that the Johnstown Jets, that the team is based off of, went belly up the year the movie came out, actually. They couldn't even cash in on it, which is even more sad. But you know how we've talked in past episodes? Seeing a movie from the 1970s is really like looking at another planet.
I was thinking about that while watching the movie, yeah.
I mean, the way Paul Newman dresses in this, I want to name the episode Plaid Pants. But they just, it progressively got more absurd as it went.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah.
But it reminds you, you know, our current political situation is meaningless. This stuff has been going on, and it's going to continue to go on long after we're gone.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a trip to the planet 1970s that was quite sad.
All right, so on to sequels and remakes.
Oh, and about Paul Newman's outfits. Do you remember the movie Rush Hour?
Vaguely.
Oh, man. I was trying to explain this to Mrs. Scott.
Many years ago.
Do you remember the scene where they were in Vegas?
No.
Maybe it was the second one.
I only saw the first one.
Oh, there's the scene in Vegas where they go to a tailor and Chris Tucker gets dressed in this leather outfit. That I swear to God was the same outfit that Paul Newman is wearing through like two-thirds of this film.
That leather trench is very pimp.
Well, there's the leather trench because it got progressively more absurd. First he had the plaid pants. Mm-hmm. Then he had the leather pimp coat with the fur collar and everything. And then he had this leather outfit, like pants and jacket matching. And I'm sure someone else out there has seen, you know, knows the suit I'm talking about. But yes, Chris Tucker in Rush Hour 2, I believe, wore the same damn outfit.
Now,
all right.
They actually made two sequels to this the last 10 years.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
It's another case where of the Dead, where there was like a 20-year gap between 3 and 4. There was, you know, almost 20-year gap between, or actually probably a 15-year gap between Slapshot and Slapshot 2. I don't remember this coming out. 2 or 3. They must have been straight to video. And I don't know why they would have waited that long.
Kind of the problem I have with the end of this, too, is that they kind of seem like they're angling for a sequel, don't they?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, because the team doesn't actually officially. Well, he's going to bring the team to the new city. He,
Yeah.
you know, Reg, Newman's character, got a job working for another team, and he's going to bring the rest of the team with him.
Right. And of course, I saw that one of the sequel plots are that they're still playing in Charlestown, which doesn't make any sense
No.
considering the team is done.
Right. I suspect that they've just noticed the cult following and decided to cash in on it.
Well, I think those VH1 flashback shows brought a lot of attention
Probably.
to this from a few years back.
Now, as far as remakes, I would love to see a remake of this. Coen's directing, Jason Lee in Newman's role.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I could see that.
The Coens could balance the sort of depression and the comedy. They could
I'd
play those right. And Lee, I could see nailing that character. And he doesn't look too old to be playing hockey.
Why not just have Kevin Smith do it?
Smith was my first choice, but he's got Hit Somebody coming out soon.
That's right. He's got a hockey movie coming out
yeah.
soon anyway.
And I don't know what the story is there. It's probably going to be something similar, given it's called Hit Somebody.
Yeah.
And Sean William Scott was just recently in a movie called Goon I keep seeing on Netflix. And now, after seeing this, I'm kind of curious to see it.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Just the grace, beauty, and absolute brutality that were the Hansen brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They needed more of them in this film.
Yeah.
No, I can't see either, really, sequels or a remake of it.
I think a remake in the right hands would be good. It's a good story.
Yeah. It's a story that's been told many times already.
This is true. This is true. And who could play the Hansen brothers at this point?
All right.
If you're recasting, who are you going to get to play the Hansen brothers? It was sad to see a movie with this much potential go so wrong. I think that's why I really latched on to the idea of a remake.
Yeah.
All right, so on to Brains.
On to Brains. And I can't see a remake because, well, the people that she was writing about are the people that are in this movie for the most part, with the exception of Paul Newman.
Sure.
And,
McClane Keane.
Yeah.
All right, so what are you rating it?
I'm going with 3.5.
Okay.
Kind of weird that a Paul Newman movie gets the same rating as Abraham Lincoln versus Zombies.
Yeah.
But Abraham Lincoln versus Zombies did not have any disco in it.
Right. Like I said, the only parts I really enjoyed were the fight scenes and a few other bits with the Hansons and the radio at the end, the radio bit.
The Hanson brothers give this at least a brain and a half. Alone,
yeah, oh, absolutely. the rest of it was really just demoralizing to me. And it was really a slog. I took most of the day to watch this. It was that much of a slog. But for those fight scenes and for the Hansen brothers, I'm going to go 2.5. So what have we learned?
We learned to stay off the damn ice.
And I learned that the best way to break up a hockey fight is to do a random striptease for no apparent reason. So until next week, when we will finally be reviewing Sucker Punch. Yes, I've been putting it off, but I'm finally going to bite the bullet. Go to zombietakeout.com, check out the Marty episode description, of course the episode itself, which you're listening to right now. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. You can also find the movie list, everything we've reviewed so far and are going to review at some point in the future. The request form, where you can request a movie like Andrew did. You can also find our recommendations list. We haven't talked about the recommendations list in a while. It's a list of every movie we've given collectively 4 brains or better. So if you're looking for something to watch and you agree with our tastes, you'll find something there.
Abraham Lincoln versus Zombies almost made it on that.
I was so shocked that an asylum movie came within a half a brain of the list.
It was.
You could also leave us an email, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or a voicemail at 414-368-TTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Of course, always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee.
Not to be confused with Pawtucket.
Mm-hmm. All right, so until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life,
there you are.
Who cares who get your checks out?
That's the spirit, Reg. That's it.
Bye.
was one of those where I heard the line, I like, oh, back that up a bit. Listen to that again to get it word for word.
Mm-hmm.